Hey, this is Yankadank.
And this is Error for round two.
This is our second attempt at Gamers Radio episode number 3. Found at yankadank.com.
Yeah. Here's a little explanation of what I like to do. Hours of GameCube, Xbox, and PS2. I'm labeled as a video game lyrical lord, but I'm just a mortal using combat as a physical force. I'm a vicious lyricist and several will die. My rhymes are so hot that the devil may cry. Save up to buy games with a stash in the bank, trying to repair my metal arms with a ratchet and clank. I'm so nice and I never say I hate to win. Chilling in my green hoodie trying to wait to win. The best video game player you ever heard of. So bow down to me like I'm the Prince of Persia. Keep saying that you beat me, too bad you can't though. Cause I'll leave you on your way to heaven wearing a halo. You're out of luck if you playing with me, because you bet that I'll make it your day of defeat. If you challenging me, believe I got the upper hand, because I'm above average, nicknamed the Mega Man. 50 hit air combos, you bet you fear those. Beating me in the game is little to F-Zero. When I spit flames, I'm leaving you torched. I got the attitude of a Street Fighter with brute force. I'm sick of shooting ducks, now I'm on the manhunt. Keep staring at my game collection, but you can't touch. There's no way you're winning, so forfeit quick. Only way you can win is in an Unreal tournament. Pick up a controller, come on, who's next? Deus, what? I love to pronounce Deus Ex. I'm always winning, and you know I love it. Defending my spot as a knight of the Old Republic. If you wanna play like me, follow my path and walk through Boulder's Gate like a champion of NORAD. Just tell me where you wanna play and I'll follow. Even if I have to take a plane to Pandora tomorrow. If you're talking all that trash, believe I'm fighting you. And you know that your half-life will be in doom. Step inside my kingdom of hearts. I'm the true talent, you just a fantasy star. The way I destroy you, it shouldn't be legal. Because I come with stuff beyond good and evil. My talent is something the rest will fear. I'm a dynasty warrior dressed in Metal Gear. EGM, IGN, GamePro, and more. All the video game players, get on the floor.
Okay, we're going to jump right into it. Our first time through, we had some recording problems, so this time it's going to work well. Starting off with Sims TV, we already covered a couple of these topics. Basically, Sims is bringing their idea to the television, which means we're going to be able to vote online what we want people to do on reality TV. So, do you think this is a good idea for the future of reality TV?
I don't really care where reality TV goes since I don't watch it, so I think it's a very good idea. I think more people should waste their lives by watching other people's lives.
Yes, exactly. I think eventually there's going to come this point where people will no longer have their own lives, so only have these lives that are completely based online.
I see how these people can complain that people that play games are wasting time, but then they're the ones that are sitting there watching like American Idol all day, every day.
Exactly. I follow you. I can't stand most of these reality shows. They're just pieces of junk that we just gave up on writers. I think no one can write like we used to for these sitcoms, so we're like, let's just toss some real people in a room, see what happens, and we'll save ourselves thousands of dollars. Electronic Arts, once again, thank you for screwing over society. Next story, another Electronic Arts one. EA has bought out the AFL, which is the Arena Football League. And this deal, they give them, I don't know how many years. You want to talk about
how many years?
Okay, so what do you think of the AFL compared to the NFL?
I think they're sort of doomed in the gaming world now because EA has it. I'm not much of a football person, so I don't really care how this goes down, but I still think it's crap.
I think it's really stupid that no one is going to be able to produce any football games, really, unless if they just want to create, like, the NFL street types, which is just fictional characters, or, like, maybe soccer mom games where you just create, like, oh, that would be a good idea. You should make a soccer mom game. Speaking of which, I had an awesome Halo dream. I'll go off on it later. I'll have a little Halo 2 segment. But Yeah,
but
now
would the soccer mom game be where, like, you drive your kids to, it's like Grand Theft Auto where you have to rush through town to get them there on time, and then there's a soccer thing where you're actually playing, it's like two games mixed?
Yeah, that would be cool.
That could really sell.
That could sell. That would sell with both the soccer mom crowd, which it's an untapped market. I should go pitch that idea to EA. They'll probably buy it. They'll buy anything right now, especially if it has to do with football. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they started buying European football, soccer games, just because they got confused. But I'm not a big fan of EA. This is another one of their... They've been huge in the news lately in the game industry because they've been buying out everything. Another news story just came in 2 minutes ago, right as we were about to do this. Electronic Arts has signed a licensing deal with ESPN, giving them rights to use the network's brand and to develop new games based on ESPN properties for the next 15 years. That's a huge amount of time. I remember, did you like any of the ESPN games that Sega used to produce?
I never played any of them. The only football games I had were the Quarterback Club games on 64. That was it.
Mm-hmm. The great thing about ESPN games were they'd be like in the $20 range rather than Madden where it's like in $50 range. And because of that, like, you'd be able to buy it for cheaper. You wouldn't feel as guilty. It's just as good as Madden. You have lots of the awesome announcers. Some of the stats are cooler. I'm not a big fan of Madden. The controllers just don't work for me, even though EA has another game. Ugh. I hate to say EA did a game well, but what was the college one? Whatever college one they put out last year, 2005, it was awesome controls. I don't get why they made Madden much different from it, though. But EA, thank you again for taking over the market. I hate
someone
you.
Someone needs to sue them.
Yeah, someone needs to sue them for a monopoly, because if Microsoft gets sued over a monopoly, why doesn't Electronic Arts? They're buying out everything right now. Like, oh. Have you heard about the Sony Online MMO subscription package?
Yeah, right before I stopped playing EverQuest, that got posted that you can play all the SOE games for, I think, 23 or 21 a month now.
22 bucks.
KOTOR.
$22 a month,
I think,
as a monthly fee, and with that $22, you can play EverQuest, EverQuest 2, PlanetSide, EverQuest Online Adventures on the PS2, and a couple other ones. But instead of paying...
Yeah, they just added Galaxies.
Oh, yeah, and they just added Galaxies, which is awesome, considering I was paying that anyways for 11 months. Damn you, Sony. Yeah, I think... Do you think this is a good idea to say, hey, now you can play all of our games for, like, $22 and waste your entire life online rather than just paying $14 and sticking the majority of your life online?
I think it's pretty good marketing because I'm pretty sure the way it works, you can only play one at a time through their stupid launch pad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting an extra, what, $7?
Yeah.
And they're not really losing that much because you only play one.
Yeah, you can only do so much in an online game because you really get devoted. Like, I remember... Oh, I can't remember any of their games, really, because I hated the one game. But EverQuest... yeah, people who play EverQuest, they don't play anything else, really. They devote their entire life to it. It's probably if you get bored of it, if that's possible. I'm not sure. But it's a good idea. It's a great marketing scheme for Sony. I wish other people were able to do the same, like World of Warcraft, maybe, but they really don't have any other games that they have a monthly fee for, so they aren't able to provide that. So talk to me about the EverQuest 2 and the RuneScape updates.
The EverQuest 2 fiasco.
Yes, that's more like it.
Started right after last episode that we did. Monday, I downloaded the Gamer Radio for this week, which was, you get that from hwhq.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking a lot about EverQuest 2, so I thought it sounded pretty good, and I was wanting to get it, so I finally broke down, and I went up to Walmart, $40, brought it home, and registered, got everything, started to update. And it was giving me some crap, saying it was like some 60-hour update, so I uninstalled and reinstalled, and then it said it was 12. Well, I was on dial-up, so it was 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my computer over to a friend's house with DSL and updated it and created the character and messed around there. So I create the character, and everything's working just fine. I get back home, plug it all up, play some more. I chose a Dark Elf Mage. I got into Freeport, level 7 or 8, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and then I started having some problems. It started getting really laggy, and I figured, okay, well, I don't have enough RAM. I'm at the minimum. I have some other stuff open, so I closed that stuff and just had FPS 2 running, and it was still laggy. And it was getting worse. It was getting to the point where it had to stop and reload every 5 seconds. So,
how much RAM are you running on here?
So,
how much memory?
512. It's two 256 sticks of DDR400.
Huh.
It's the minimum.
Yeah, I think that'd be able
but
to...
But it wasn't the RAM, it turns out.
So what was the problem?
It turned out that it was... I checked the hard drive... And it was, like, really fragmented. So I figured, okay, well, it was just some sloppy install. It just can't find the stuff. So I tried to defrag. The computer locks up. And then the hard drive starts knocking. I'm not talking about, like, it's seeking and it's just making more noise because it's seeking a lot. I'm talking about metal is slamming into metal and it's locking up. So I shut the computer off and I'm freaking out, like, oh, God, this drive's going to die. Well, the drive was 5 years old, so I figured it was going to die sometime. So I just chalked it up to it's an old drive. And then this is where the mistake happened. I installed EverQuest 2 on my main drive, where I have all my stuff that's not backed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I installed on there, and then went back over there to patch. Not more than 2 minutes after I patched. Okay, I just patched it, started up the game, didn't even move, and it was already lagging again. Like, oh God, not again. I didn't even get to close the game and check to see how fragmented it was before the drive knocked twice and then the computer just shut off. So it killed two of my hard drives within 4 days.
So what do you think?
Total gameplay time of 4 hours.
What do you think is the problem with it? Is it just not sticking to the... I'm so flustered today. Is it not sticking the bits of... pieces all over the hard drive, or?
I don't know what it is, because on the first install, it worked for a while, and then it started messing up. So I don't see why it would mess up right after it was patched the second time on a pretty much brand new drive. The other drive was only a year old.
How big are your hard drives?
The old one that died first was a Quantum Fireball 60 gig. It came with my Hewlett Packard that I got a while back. And the second one, which is my archive drive, it's a MacStore 120 gigabyte drive.
So these really shouldn't be having any problems, it sounds. That's pretty messed up. Have you done any research on, like, online forums to see if anyone else has had any similar problems?
No, I haven't checked, and I figured that probably anyone that did have this problem wouldn't be able to post because your drive would be dead.
Yeah.
So I should research it to see if it's happened to anyone else, or at least try to warn people that, hey, this happened to me twice in a row. Maybe someone needs to check something out. But I just boxed it up and threw it at the wall, and I'm never going to play it again.
Yeah.
So I have to cancel my subscription.
Yeah, make sure you do cancel the subscription. You don't want to go through what I went through. So that sucks ass. Tell me about RuneScape, though, with a nice positive to even you out.
Well, yeah, since all that happened Saturday, Sunday I didn't have a computer working. I got up at like 3 p.m. and didn't even want to look at it, so I just went outside and messed around out there. And then I came in Sunday night and managed to recover the drive and back some stuff up and found a different drive and installed everything. Started playing RuneScape again. Got up this morning, and after a while I said, hey, let's play some RuneScape. So I get on, and there's a new update. They added, there were some bug fixes for Castle Wars, and so added this new dungeon. The dungeon's pretty cool. I went down there. It's really crowded. They did add 4 new dragons and some new armor, dragon plate legs. So that's pretty cool. I really like the dragons. It's taken most of the stress off the other dragons so that now people can actually get down there and kill them.
Tell us about the Dragonair.
I think they fixed it now. Whenever they first put the dragons out, you could, like, stand in front of them. I'm pretty sure I wasn't down there to fight them, but all I was told is that they don't fight back. I think that meant that whenever they spawned, you could just stand there and look at it, and they wouldn't try to attack you.
I remember,
so they brought the servers down and fixed it, I'm pretty sure.
I remember listening to, I think it was Games and More, where they're talking about how in, I think, EverQuest, you could find, like, these certain spots where you could go if you're, like, a level 5, and you could just, like, stand behind a tree or something and swat at a dragon, only the dragon couldn't hit you back. So you kept gaining all this experience because you could hit him, but he couldn't hurt you. And that's how, like, people would level up like crazy, but they eventually, like, fixed the errors that caused that. Anyways.
Yeah, and RuneScape, that's pretty much how you level range. Since you can't fight things with range, you just have to hide behind stuff, and there's no groups, so you can't depend on your group to pull them out while you just sit there and range it. So you just hide behind stuff and range.
I'm going to jump categories to the PlayStation, with the Sony being ordered to pay DualShock license fees to Immersion. What DualShock is, I believe, is just like the Rumble Packs on the Nintendo 64 where your controller would shake. Am I correct by this?
The DualShock is the controllers that I have for the PlayStation 2, where there's two Rumble Packs, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
and each side of the controller.
And, so Sony... what the hell? Let's see what it said exactly. They have to pay a quarterly license fee for its use of the force feedback technology used in the PlayStation hardware and games, and that's going to amount to a lot. 1.37% fee, $27 million per, like, year. Yeah, that's fun, huh? So how do you feel about these people suing Sony for their controllers?
Well, I have one of their mice. It's a USB ball mouse, but I bought it because it has force feedback and it works well with Unreal 2004. I think that their patent for a motor vibrating is kind of ridiculous. So I say that really sucks.
Oh, what was the first controller to use a Rumble Pack? Was it the Nintendo 64?
Apparently, they created it before that, but the first console with it was the Nintendo 64.
Hmm.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't remember anything before that. Maybe, did the PlayStation 1 ever have any type of controller? Maybe? I doubt it. I don't think it's built into it. Or was it? I don't know. I never played
the... I think it was, but it might have been just one. I don't know. That's a long time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, I can't remember. Going on with the Sims 2 University release, EA, another EA story, damn it. They released, like, a press article a week ago, almost, that they're coming out with an expansion for the Sims 2 called University. And it's basically, just, like, college kids hanging out. It's really stupid from what the video showed. Did you get a chance to check out the video?
No, I haven't.
It's probably one of the worst trailers I've ever seen for a game. It's, these two guys sitting in a pool hall and a cheerleader watching them, and these guys are playing a game of pool throughout the entire, trailer. It's like a minute and 15 seconds, maybe. And at the end, this one guy beats the other guy in pool, and then he makes out with the cheerleader, and then it's like, The Sims University. I'm like, wow, was that gay? But
yeah, not to defend EverQuest or anything, because, yeah, that really sucks, but why is it everyone says that EverQuest sucks? Because they have 10 billion expansions, whenever it seems to me that The Sims has more.
Yeah, Sims definitely is probably one of the games with the most expansion packs ever. I can't think of a game with more expansion packs.
I think EverQuest is, like, right beside it.
And then what I love is how Sims will be like, okay, we'll create with a deluxe expansion pack, which creates, like, three of our expansion packs combined into one. And they'll sell that sucker. And the EA will milk anything. Oh, this bastards.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled a move from Disney and said, okay, we're no longer going to sell The Sims. Buy it while you can. We're going to put it in the EA vault. And then bring it back out in 5 years. This is your last chance to ever get The Sims. It's a classic. And then try and sell some more.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I love how Disney does that.
Oh, God, now they're going to do it.
Yeah, now Disney is going to be like, let's do that to our games now. Like The Incredibles. I think that they own that. I don't know, because Pixar did it. Damn it. Okay, going on. This is a cool new technology, the GameCube speech recognition technology. Mario Party 6 came with a bundled microphone to use with some of the voice-activated minigames. And they're talking about SDK. It's ScanSoft is the parent company or something like that. They're talking about creating more games to use this GameCube microphone and how we could use the voice technology and speech recognition. And I think it's a really cool idea. I don't know if the GameCube's going to have enough really gusto to do this. The Xbox, I could see doing it. I remember there's a game called Nude, N-U-D-E. It was a Japanese-only game, though, where you had to teach a girl how to speak Japanese. And that looks like it's a cool game. I never got to try it out, though. But I think voice recognition is a great idea for games, especially when you look at the future of gaming and how much more involved we're going to become with it and how much it's going to sort of blend into our real life.
I'm pretty sure that NUDE game wasn't like that. I'm pretty sure it was like the Tamagotchi for a real girl. I'm pretty sure it was something like, yeah, you did have to teach her things, but it was like your girlfriend on a TV. It was kind of strange.
Yeah. I remember, did you have the Dreamcast by any chance?
No, it was the console I missed out on. I played one.
That was probably my favorite console of all time. They had this really crappy game, I can't even remember what it was called, but you had this little egg in a fish tank, and you talked to it. And it would, like, eventually hatch from the egg if you talked to it enough, and then it would start growing up, and you had to teach it words, and it only could, like, know certain words, like hello and things like that. But that was, like, the crappiest game, but I was like, that was such a cool technology for the time. And I really wish more games use things like that.
Yeah, more games start using voice recognition because you're just sitting there
yelling at
it, watching the game go and moving, not saying a word. It'd be cool if you could say things like do special spells. Yeah, instead of going through some crazy menus in the next Final Fantasy, you should have like this book that you have to read and you just say the spell and it does it. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be very cool. I remember there was also a PlayStation 2 game that came out sometime in the past year, where it was some girl stranded on a spaceship, and she was running around, and you were some guy who had, like, was in the camera room, and you were able to talk to her through the loudspeaker and tell her what to do. So you'd be like, pick up the gun, pick up the gun, and she'd have to pick up the gun, and you'd be like, turn right, fire, fire. And it was really stupid from what I saw on an X-Play interview, or review. They're showing, like, how difficult it was to control. And then, like, of course, Adam Sessler would always be like, get naked, take off clothes, and all that stuff.
Yeah, speech recognition is kind of hit or miss right now.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a couple more years, and I think they'll have it down where it works for everyone.
I had the coolest dream about Halo 2. I haven't played Halo 2 much up until, like, 2 days ago. I just sat down and beat it with my girlfriend because I was like, okay, it's about time. I have to finally beat this game. Because I only like to play Halo when it's, like, co-op mode or something like that. It's not as much fun, I guess. But I had this dream the night before that, like, I think I'd call it, like, Halo 5, maybe. Because it was just like in the last show where I talked about how Vice City should be, like, you run around with a baseball bat and you hit people, and it's all, like, virtual reality, sort of. It was just like that, only it was like Halo style. And it was the most amazing dream. I never wanted to wake up from it. It was the coolest dream ever. I was, like, killing the Covenant, and I could, like, it actually it sort of stung when you got shot by something. It was amazing. And then I had those little zombie, little egg guys that ran after you. It was sweetest dream ever.
I remember back for the Sega Genesis, there was this peripheral you could get for Mortal Kombat. I'm pretty sure, unless I'm just, like, making this up out of nowhere, but it was just the vest you would put on whenever you got hit, like, compressed so that you felt the hit. That would be pretty cool.
I remember that. Do you remember the Power Glove? The Nintendo Power Glove?
I've seen one and I wanted one so bad that I never had one.
We had one. It probably broke in the first week we had it. It was the biggest piece of junk we've ever had. But it was cool. It was the coolest looking piece of junk we've ever had, too. And if you wanted to be somebody back in the day, that's the way you did it. You got yourself a power glove. For everyone out there who listen or who plays Counter-Strike, they are releasing the source code to the Counter-Strike bot, the official Counter-Strike bot. They will be releasing this, I believe, if not soon. January 17th, so today. So if you want to get your hands on the source code to help out with the development of better bots for that game, because that bot had some crappy bots. Game, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, get your hands on that. One other GameCube thing I wanted to get to here. There's a GameCube development contest over the next 60 days to develop like a homebrew application to use on the GameCube now that they have their own mod chip. Have you ever?
That's pretty cool.
Have you ever played a modded Xbox or PS2?
No, I haven't.
I have a modded Xbox. It is
I haven't played anything modded.
Having a modded system is like going to the next generation of gaming. It's just like the greatest thing ever. Games and More is always talking about like the PS2 HD loader, and I haven't had a chance to play with that thing yet. But I played a lot with Xboxes that are modded. I do them for my friends and my family. I'll make them once for. I did that for my brother for Christmas. I modded his Xbox. Just so many cool features you can implement, like the Xbox Media Center. I really suggest that one if you have an Xbox. But I think it's about time GameCube is finally getting some homebrew applications and games, and it's great to see that they're sponsoring a competition. There you get a $500 certificate to Divinio.com as one of your prizes, which is a pretty awesome thing. That's like 10 mod chips there. Anyways, next news article. What do you want to talk about here, Air?
How about the final Myst game?
Yes, about time. Are you a fan of the Myst series?
Not really, but I'm sure Kobar would be mad, because I think he's a fan of it.
I remember playing the original one, I think. It's the original one. It's when I was really little. I think I was over at my uncle's house playing it, and, it was a nice game, but it's for, like, the more sort of older lawyer-type guys, I think. It's not something for someone who has ADD, I'll say.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I'm just going to read the article straight out. Ubisoft has announced the final game of the popular long-running Myst series to be called Myst 5 End of Ages. The game will be developed by series originators Cyan Worlds rather than the internal Ubisoft team responsible for 2004's Myst 4. It tells you about the storyline, all that other stuff. So it's coming out in fall 2005, so Myst fans, be ready. For those of you who watch G4 Tech TV, crap TV, like I like to call it, I used to love... You don't happen to have extended cable, do you?
I have satellite, but this is one of the channels I don't have.
Oh, it used to be the prime of television for me. I couldn't live without... It was worth, like, the $15 extra a month just for Tech TV when it was back, when it was actually Tech TV. Then they made the transformation to G4 Tech TV, and I was like, okay, I guess I could live with this. They got rid of a couple shows that I liked, and they didn't toss out some of the shows that I wanted them to toss. Like, I can't stand some of the anime stuff they play late at night. I can understand why they keep it on, though, because anime kids need a place to go. But they had, they wanted to combine both G4, which was one separate channel at the time, and Tech TV into one thing, but they really couldn't squish it into one. So they're like, we'll keep most of G4, but we'll kill off most of Tech TV. So they only kept, like, four shows from Tech TV that I actually, like, would watch every once in a while. And then G4 started killing off more shows, and then they started killing off announcers like Leo Laporte. I worship that man. Listen to a show every day. He has a podcast.
And Yoshi. Why did they have to get rid of Yoshi?
Yeah, they killed Yoshi. Yoshi's the man. And who else? They killed everybody off of that show. Patrick Norton, I love him. I just listened. If you were a fan of that show, you have to check out, I'll stick a link into my webpage. It's called, like, the Roundtable Interview from Macworld, and it's all of the old Screensavers hosts along with Kevin, the newer guy, and they're just sitting around the table talking about, like, the future of technology and about Macworld crap like that. But it's a great thing to listen to. It's like, you know, it brings you back to when Tech TV was still Tech TV. But anyways, G4 Tech TV is getting rid of the Tech TV portion. They're killing it off. So no longer will we have the screensavers. Oh, actually, no, they're keeping the screensavers. But I think they're just tossing out the name. But they're killing everything. I hate that show now. Fortunately, there is a Tech TV in Canada still that you can get audio clips, and you can probably download some of it online through BitTorrent. But unfortunately, what was once a great television show or television station is now just a piece of junk. Just like most of other TV, they'll start doing reality shows next.
I'd like to give some quick shouts, if I could.
Yeah, go ahead.
Some friends of mine over on Geek Love Radio.
Yeah.
GeekLoveRadio.com. They're going to be on G4 Tech TV on, I think it's Valentine's Day, which will be the second to last day it will be G4 Tech TV. They're going to be on the screensavers, I believe.
Really?
Promoting their show and talking about Geek Love Radio.
That's awesome. I didn't think they were that big yet.
They got an email probably around episode 5 or so.
That's pretty amazing. It's amazing how quick some of these podcasts are sort of growing in all these audio shows. Like, our show here, we're probably having like 50 hits to the website a day. Probably we're not getting that many audio hits, but we're going up. We're a hell of a lot further, especially since we're only like 2.5-3 months in right now. But it's amazing how quickly these people are getting. I'm surprised HWHQ isn't growing as fast as it is. I think it's because they've been having...
Yeah, well, C4 doesn't promote the show at all. If you would promote it, there'd be so many people listening.
Exactly. I love their show. I wish we could, like, partner with them and do a tag team. I think it's sort of because their podcast, Hacker Media, it hasn't been working with my podcast aggregator or whatever the hell. And so it hasn't been updating the shows. So I think maybe if they handwrote some RSS to do that, they might do a little better. But I don't think they're looking for huge amounts of people. They just want the little gamers that they need, the little community, the true gamers. And that's what counts. Okay, any other shout-outs?
I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. I think we only have a couple more stories. I'll just do two more. The PS2 controller hack. This is a pretty cool story. Did you even see this one?
No.
I'm reading this one straight off games.slashdot.org. Great place to get your news, by the way. Some guy took his PlayStation 2 controller, and he, like, cracked it open, hooked it up to, like, some port on his computer, and did all this major hardware and software hacking. Then he started running it to play Grand Theft Auto, and it started running through codes. So just like randomly would type in codes, and he ended up, because Rockstar never gave out the codes for the game and no one online had them yet, he ended up on like getting I don't know, probably like 30 different codes for Grand Theft Auto by letting his computer do all the work. It's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool because they listed out all the commands, and I think the guy even has like a tutorial on how he did it and shows like a picture. But it's really cool to see how guys get that involved. They're like, I want to see what I can do to make the most out of this. So kudos to that guy. Congrats on your geekery. There's also a Linux Live Gaming project now out. My friend is really interested in this because he's been trying to work on a Return to Castle Wolfenstein on a bootable Linux CD.
Wait. Explain this to me really quick because I'm pretty sure I talked about this on DTMF Radio like 6 months ago.
Really? What was your idea?
What it does? A distro where you have everything in Linux that would get you booted up, and then a game and some scripts in there so that as soon as Linux is booted up, it runs the scripts to start the game so that you have, like, this live CD that you can put in any computer and play the game.
Mm-hmm. My friend Brian was talking about the exact same idea. I actually have a website for him, but we've been trying to keep it secret on the download for now until he finally releases it. I think he has, like, a beta version running right now. I don't know. But
that's crazy.
Yeah, they're having a Linux Live gaming project. I'm just going to read the article. It's a pretty short one. The mission of the LLGP, Linux Live Gaming Project, is to show to Nintendo users that also Linux can be used to game. And now for a new version, is out. Features KDE 3.3 with plastic theme and blah blah blah, Tux Racer, much more. Yeah, anyways, what my friend is working on is a he's thinking of using this new game Nopix, only replacing lots of these files with Return to Castle Wolfenstein, so that it'll boot Wolfenstein. And I'm hoping that people will start creating these more often. But the tough part is getting the right video card drivers to work with it, so you can have 3D support, from what I understand, at least. Yeah, so this project is like they're trying to support more games coming to a live bootable CD. What would be awesome is if you made like a DVD format one, you could probably boot a hell of a lot more information. And that's it for today's episode of Gamers Radio. Just a little reminder, you can contact us at gamersradio@yankidink.com. Yankidink spelled Y-A-N-K-I-D-A-N-K. You can also check by our site for some show notes and some other material to keep up to date with your game news. So see you around next week on Gamers Radio.
Making radio shows for fun. If everybody does it, everybody I know. Shut up!